Hi, Erika.
Hi.
Let me start with human to human. Maybe people don't know you. So can you tell us something about yourself? Who are you?
Good question.
Yeah.
Who am I? What a question.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm Erika Koppens. I'm especially someone who likes humor.
Okay.
So I like to have a bit of fun. And I'm the CEO of House of HR.
Yeah.
And Accent Jobs is part of House of HR. So maybe that is more familiar to people, especially in Belgium. But in Holland, we also have subsidiaries like Covebo, Continue Redmore. In Germany, we have Time Partner and Zaquensis. And
yeah.
In France, we have Abilsen. So that's...
Sounds like a big group. How big is the group?
Today we are about 1.8 billion euros in turnover. And we have about 3,000 people, more than 3,000 people internally working for us. But actually, we employ, because that's our business, a House of HR. We staff people. We are in human resource. So we staff about 50,000 people a year.
That's... quite a lot.
That's a crowd.
Before we go into the company, you said you like humor. If I would ask you, what's that part of you that you think, okay, this is really me? Is that the humor or is that something else? Is that something that you say, this is really my characteristic?
Very outspoken, very outgoing, and the humor is part of it. So I will always speak my mind. Sometimes people find that very confronting, but I am what you see. So so that's me.
Yeah. Flemish people would say you're very Dutch.
I'm very Dutch.
You're
some
very
people
Dutch.
Suspect that actually I'm Dutch in a way.
But you're not.
I'm not. I'm really, really Flemish.
Okay. Now, House of HR. You already said something about Hours of HR, but maybe introduce Hours of HR. What is Hours of HR? And what makes you or House of HR different from other people in the same space or other companies in the same space?
Yeah. So House of HR, we're a group of staffing companies. And what we have in common is that we change lives one job at a time. This is what we say. So because having a job is for me one of the most important things in life. And I think everyone experienced it as well coming out of this crisis, that having colleagues, being able to see your colleagues, speak to colleagues, how important that is in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, we all worked during the crisis, but actually what we missed really
was
also...
We missed the work environment.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And people wanted to come out again and come outside and go to work and meet the colleagues. So that's how important work is. I think if you are at the reception and you talk to people, the first question is, what's your name? The second question is, what do you do for a living?
Yeah, exactly. So
that's how important work is. So this is one of our missions, is to change lives one job at a time. So this is what we all have in common. And I think this is also where it starts from. So we don't say we want to be number one in staffing or we want to place most people. No, we want
to... It's about the mission.
It's about the mission.
Yeah.
And really find that perfect match for a human being, that they find the job they love, which is also choose the job you love.
It's very human to human.
Yes, indeed. It's a human business. What makes us different is that we start from that mission, especially. We don't want to be the biggest. We don't want to be the greatest. We just want to be the best in that matchmaking. So we have a very personalized way of working, both towards the candidates, towards the people looking for a job, as towards the customers, where we are trying to be a good fit with them, getting to know them, be really a partner in their growth path that they have set in front of them.
You said customers, but you have two types of customers.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I refer to the first one as being the candidates.
Huh? Yeah.
They are our customers as well.
Yeah.
So that's the B2C part in a way. And then we have the B2B part, which is the customers, the companies that are looking for people to help them out.
This is what you do. You matchmaking. All right.
Yeah. Connie, our founder, who some people may know, she always says we're actually like a dating agency, which is one of her dreams, to start a dating agency at some point. So
I'm going to ask you a very difficult question. What do you think that, and let's talk about your customers now, business to business part, but I'll come back to the business to consumer part. What would your customers miss if House of HR would not be there?
It's a very good question. I think that indeed it's the fact that we have this personalized approach. We focus more on SMEs than our competitors, which also makes that we need to be closer to the customers. We need to know them. They don't have very fancy systems. Some of them even don't have an HR department. So they need to be able to pick up the phone, give a call to one of our consultants, one of our internal people, and say, okay, this is what I need. This is the type of person. And we immediately know this is a person that would fit with that company culture. So it's kind of a feeling, kind of that vibe. And we have customers that have been with us for over 20 years that are really confidants of where we are, really their confidant.
So in the end, you know that part of the customer better, maybe better than the customer knows himself.
Sometimes I think so, yeah.
And on the other part, the business to consumer part, what would your candidates miss if you guys were not around? Because you're not the only one in the space.
Well, I'm for simplicity. If you make things difficult, I also kind of start to get alarms in my head. So it's the same thing, personalized approach.
Yeah.
Same as with our B2B, it's also this personalized approach. We have a very friendly way. And I know that, for example, in Belgium, we are referred to as the benchmark in staffing. Because when people come into our office, we recognize that there's a person in front of us. It's not euros. It's not someone who will bring us revenue. It's not someone who we really need to give a job. No, we will look for that right match. So it's the person that is in front of us.
You try to give him or her the feeling that he or she is the center of what happens at that very moment. It's not the process or procedure. It's about him or her.
It's the person.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We already mentioned the C word, the COVID-19. And this is not an interview about COVID-19. But we cannot ignore...
Unavoidable.
That it happened. What do you think, what is in your space the biggest difference before COVID-19 and after COVID-19? Do you see a difference somewhere?
I think it's still early days, of course. I think we are not yet out of this crisis for the moment. So I think maybe we have the illusion that we are, but unfortunately we're not. So I think it's still early days. Now, what do we see is that, of course, some things will stay. And one of them is that, well, we were able to adopt to digital much quicker because we had to. We had a project internally to roll out Microsoft Teams and it would last until the 31st of December. In 3 weeks, it was done. Yeah. So everyone is now addicted to Teams. So the digital has been more quickly adopted and that is not gonna go.
But that's internally. Do you use the digital as well to talk to candidates or to talk to companies?
Indeed.
And are you going to do that in the future as well?
We already started that years ago, but what we are now doing is indeed looking at how can we use these tools towards customers on a constant basis. And for example, normally we guide the candidate when they go for an interview. Our consultants, in most of the cases, go with the candidate to the customer. Now we try to do that already by video or over video, over FaceTime, WhatsApp. So we are really now looking on how to integrate all these tools because there are so many tools.
And it's
now
way more adapted by the candidates, but also by the companies, by the customers.
In the past, it was almost unimaginable that the customers would accept it. And now it's more and more accepted that indeed we use these tools to have the interviews.
So there's a couple of good things that come out of this crisis as well.
There's a lot of good things actually coming out of a crisis. I always say nothing as good as a good crisis to shake things up a little
bit. I love that. If you look at the let's say 2021, 2022, what do you see as your biggest challenge, or I know you, as your biggest opportunity? Because you don't like, you like challenges because you see certain challenges as an opportunity.
Well, it's always when you are confronted with a challenge indeed, or a problem that you need to face, it's always good to think in solutions. If you don't come with a solution, you're part of the problem is one of the things I say. It's also a difficult question. What are the main things or challenges for 2021, 2022? I think it's just the overall economy. How quickly will companies adapt to this new situation? How about consumer confidence? Will a lot of companies go bust? And there are some sectors that I am worried about.
That has a direct impact on your turnover anyway.
Business. Yeah.
So that's the biggest challenge?
That's the biggest challenge. Of course, what we are now looking at is, of course, there are a couple of sectors that will struggle, but yeah. which sectors will thrive? And then try to look at what are the opportunities we have towards those sectors yeah. And try to look at
so
that.
So you're developing new types of yeah. interactions or new type of customer segments
yes,
as well?
Indeed, indeed. Okay. Yeah. yeah, and working on a lot of digital solutions, which okay. I know is right up your alley.
Yeah, yeah. I know, yeah. do you see any mega trend that is going to be of huge impact potentially on your type of business that you see developing, let's say, for the next decade in the 20s? Or is there nothing that you say, okay, this is really going to shake up our segment?
Well, of course, data, and there's the big D word and big D word. So data is hugely important in our business. Yeah. So the way you collect data, the way you store it, the way you structure it, and then what you do with it is going to become more and more important in order to be able to deliver an even more personalized service to our customers and our candidates. So yeah. it's both ways again. I think the more we are able to capture what the customer wants and that we are able to actually have that information in a structured way, the better we will be able to serve customers yeah. and candidates.
Now, the holy trinity between big data, artificial intelligence, and robotization, is that something that you say we'll deal with it when it happens, or are you already very much into doing
what,
that? I know the answer. But yeah. maybe people don't know
yeah,
the answer.
No. Yeah. But no, it's something we are really working on. It starts with getting the data in a structured way. We already have a lot of information or data, actually, raw data, but it's not structured enough. So we're doing a lot of work, and I think that's the challenge for most companies. A lot of companies have a lot of data,
yeah.
but it's just a massive bunch of garbage almost. So how do you sort it and recycle it so that it becomes usable?
Is that the biggest challenge?
That's the biggest challenge, to yeah. be quite honest.
Not having the data, but no. knowing where they are and how to deal with it.
And how to yeah. deal with it, how to structure it. And it's simple stuff. And I think a lot of people will recognize it when you talk about a date, a birth date. Do you first put the year and then the month and then the day? Or do you put instead of the month, Jan, Feb? All those kind of things need to be synchronized across your systems. And that is a lot of work to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, and I think that might be a challenge because you're talking about very different companies. I know mm-hmm. that every company in your house of HR can work pretty independent.
Yeah.
So how do you get them all into collecting data and the same type of data and to be able to process all those data and to activate all those data, each for their specific?
Well, I think if each company is able to structure the data for themselves, we're already a long way further, because there's not that much cross-border going on for the moment.
Okay.
So it's within each.
But is that something that you want to build?
Well, what we are doing is we're building a lot of applications that can be used on a mobile. And mobile is by definition much more structured, because also the candidate owns their own data,
yeah.
Which is even more important if you want to keep it up to date. So the future is mobile. We really listen to you, Rick.
Yeah.
So this is also one of the things that we are working on. So we have a lot of applications. You were also saying AI. So obviously it starts with the data. Once you have that, AI becomes a possibility.
It's about processing all those data. Yeah.
And then we also invested in a chatbot technology in Romania, where we are already interviewing candidates in order to have a pre-screening of candidates via Facebook, shortly also over LinkedIn, in order to get more structured data from those candidates.
Wow, sounds exciting. Are you going to roll that out all over Europe, or yeah?
Well, first of all, of course, it's a benefit.
Because there's languages, so yeah.
We have it in all languages
okay,
already.
Great.
So it's working yeah. in Portuguese, Romanian, Polish, you name
yeah.
it, we've got it. So first of all, of course, this is a tool that we want to use and optimize within House of HR. We now developed a way of how to integrate the robot with the human being. So I think this is now working quite well, and there's a trust built now between the robot and the human being, which is also part of the road that you need to take. So that
sounds very
one.
Science fiction, you
yeah,
know. There's
almost.
Trust between the robot and the human being.
That's
yeah.
what you need.
Yeah.
So we built that process, and now we will actually copy that model in the other countries in our own group, but Happy Recruiter, or Dora, as the robot is named, is also working for companies which are outside of the group, which is also something very typical for us, where we say, you know what, we don't need to limit ourselves within the group. If we want to work with competition, that should work as well.
So Dora will become our very personal assistant in when we want to look for a job.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Indeed.
Is she also going to be the assistant for the companies, or just only for the candidates?
It's an assistant for the companies, because actually acting as a consultant.
All right.
Yeah, so she's asking the questions, like, how many years of experience do you have? What is the salary you would like to earn? Those kind of questions are being asked to you.
Yeah. Great. We're already talking about platform companies, ecosystems. You're very experienced in ecosystems, because I see two types of ecosystems in your company. First of all, House of HR as such is an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. It's not one company. It's an ecosystem of companies. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. The second is, because you do matchmaking between candidates and companies and companies and candidates, you function as a platform, as an ecosystem as well over there. Many companies that were not ecosystems before now come to us and come to me and say, we want to become a platform company. We want to become an ecosystem. Can you say something to them, what they have to keep in mind when building an ecosystem, both internally but also externally?
I think you need to always start from your customer. And like you refer to it, it's the customer experience that counts, and make it as easy and user-friendly as possible.
Yeah.
For the,
so start with the customer.
It starts with
that's
the customer.
That's your anchor.
And
that's,
even if you want to take it one step further, it maybe even starts with the customer paying the invoice. Because in our case, the candidate is not paying the invoice, it's the companies paying the invoice.
Yeah.
So start thinking about them, and what is it that would really make their life a lot easier, or what kind of frustrations are these customers
living?
So
you start with the application that is a solution to an actual problem.
And what are they doing in their day-to-day life? Or when you look for a job, what is the most frustrating thing that you can experience? Companies not calling you when you apply for a job, or having to wait too long before you get to know what your next steps are, not knowing what these next steps will be, or when they will be. So those are the kind of frustrations that, if you can take those away, that are the things that will really bring added value, and that will make
customers...
So you're
trying to avoid what the taxi business did, and so they give space to Uber. They didn't focus on those customer frustrations, and then Uber came along, solved all those customer issues, and then Uber conquered the world. So that's exactly what you want to avoid, or that's how you want to conquer the market.
And then, of course, to become an ecosystem, what you need to think about is, what are the things that is actually in my core business? What is my core knowledge? What do I know best? This is what you organize yourself.
Yeah.
Things where others are better, you just involve them as a partner. And that's how you create and build.
So you think about, what do I bring to the table and what I want to take off the table and what can others bring to me and what can I give to the others? And that's, I reckon, that's not only money.
No, it's actually when we look, for example, and let's continue with the example of Dora. Dora is only taking a very small piece of the whole chain, of the whole process of finding a job. It's the first pre-screening to actually determine, is this a candidate I want to continue with? So it's a very small piece of the puzzle of the whole recruitment process. So in each of these processes, you will say, okay, what can I bring to the table? What we bring as an experienced company is a huge database of candidates and a huge database of customers. And we're also bringing the whole physical process to the table. So it's in our case, it's not only a human process, it's a digital process, but the human part is also really important. And what you now see today with a lot of startups is that they only focus on the digital part, and it's only this small piece of the puzzle. You cannot sell that.
Yeah.
Companies are not willing to buy for their whole process 20 or 30 applications. They want to get it in one go. They only want to log on once.
One-stop shop,
And not have it in small pieces.
Yeah.
So what we bring to the table is actually the glue between all these pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, so really being the platform and then bring all those applications together into one platform.
And then the human beings behind it.
Yeah, exactly. Very important. And start with the customer. That's one thing I love. You know, I'm obsessed by a new KPI, the net curiosity score. I don't like companies that are starting from assumptions, especially now when times are changing very fast and very substantial. I think that companies need to have more curiosity in their organizations. I know that your company is a pretty curious type of company. How do you enhance that curiosity in your organization?
Always challenging, bringing new ideas and allowing new ideas, and also allowing mistakes. I think that's probably one of the most important things. We try a lot of things and not everything works, but sometimes you have a huge success. For example, recently we launched an initiative called Share Jobs because we have a lot of people in unemployment today. There was a lot of frustration in the government. We have so many people in unemployment. On the other hand, there's companies looking for people. Yeah. So we said, okay, we'll start a new platform. We'll be the spider in the middle of the web, and we will bring people or companies that have maybe too many people for the moment together with companies that are looking for people, and we'll bring them together, take care of the whole admin process and so on and so on. So we'll be the spider in the web. And those kind of opportunities, those kind of ideas are great. Will it ever become a 1 billion company? Probably not. But it's that kind of things that bring a new vibe in the company. Yeah. And one of my people actually said, what do you like so much about the company, about Accent? And one of the comments of one of the employees was the fact that I always have something new to tell to our customers.
Wow. Yeah. But it's about storytelling. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have another one. How do you... It's about leadership. You're CEO of the company, and we were touching leadership. Have you seen a shift in leadership in the last, let's say, 5 years? And what shifts do you reckon that we will see in the next 5 years? Mm-hmm. Shift in type of leaders and type of leadership?
Yeah, I think that I've always been probably a little bit the odd duck in the pond because I always wanted to be myself and not start from I'm the boss and look at me. So just be in the middle of it. And when you need to, you just roll up the sleeves and you really get going where help is needed. Allowing to make mistakes is also one of those things that you need to explicitly say. And luckily, more and more leaders also recognize that they are also only human beings and that also we can make mistakes. And I think this is the type of leadership we need more and more. And luckily, when I am at roundtables or with colleagues, you see that is being more and more accepted. The leaders where you need to refer to as sir or madam and having that very formal kind of approach to leadership where they are almost untouchable, that is luckily, I think,
so it's more about mindful leaders and about vulnerable leadership.
Yes. Yeah. And being also very open and honest. People have never been stupid, and thinking they are is probably the biggest mistake you can make. So hiding things doesn't help because people will figure it out at some point. So it's better just to put it on the table. Yeah.
I reckon that we're going to more hard type of companies, honest, ethical, authentic, responsible and transparent. And I think that is the new type of leadership. Yep. Now, we're at the end of the interview. I want to give you the stage to give one short message to, first of all, your customers. What do you want to say to your customers? Is there a message that you want to give to your customers right now?
It's a good question. And who are my customers, of course?
Yeah, okay. You can talk to candidates and to customers or potential customers.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the message is if you really want a personalized approach and you want to feel someone really cares about you or your own company, just come to us. House of HR will help you. And by the way, HR is going to become more and more important. It's always been treated, HR, as a little bit the department that does compensation and benefits, and that's it. But your whole resource planning, because maybe we think that there are enough people now with more unemployment. This is what we all think. But in the longer term, people will become a scarce good. So treat your people well and pay more attention to HR.
And is it people or talent that will become a scarce good? Both.
Well, it's both.
Yeah. Okay. any message that we want to give to the people that make your company, because a company is people.
They're the best. You're great. And thanks a lot for everything.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Now, a difficult one, maybe a difficult one. Just imagine that there was your government, the government, or the governments. Is there any message that you want to give to them? Is there anything that they can do to not really help you as a company, but help society?
I think also being more transparent as a government body, because I think due to the crisis we've all experienced, unfortunately, how untransparent our government is and how difficult Belgium is as a state to make decisions. So probably sit together, forget party politics, but think about what is good for the country. And also remember that if you have 1 euro, you can only spend it once. So spend it wisely.
Okay. And any last remark? And then I want to, before you go to the last remark, I want to thank you very much for this interview. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. And I think that companies need to talk to you not only for their staffing, but also to learn about ecosystems. I think they can learn a lot about how you both run it, House of HR, but also how you do that matchmaking in using big data, already using a chatbot to build that ecosystem. Any last remark, any last message that you want to share?
Well, I also want to thank you, Rick, for the opportunity. I think it's great to be able to talk about something you love. And I love House of HR. And I think that's the message. I love the company. I love the people in it. Yeah. And that probably radiates towards our customers and candidates.
So, okay. Rika, thank you. Very, very much.
Thank you.